You could easily tell that we are in the book of Genesis, and tonight will be the second message. So return, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 1, the verse that we considered last week, and read through verse 25, and tonight talk about creation. When I have taught this class previously, I have emphasized to the listeners, to the learners, that there are four major events and four extremely important people in the book of Genesis. In the first 11 chapters, you have the events: creation, the fall, when man became a sinner, the flood, when God destroyed the earth, and the Tower of Babel, when languages were confused. And beginning in chapter 12 and moving through the 50th chapter of Genesis, you have the four major personalities: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And so if there's nothing else that you know about all 50 chapters in Genesis, if you can remember the four major events and the four vital personalities, you can almost tell the story of Genesis. Creation, the fall, which we will consider in a week or so, the flood, which we will get to in several weeks, and then the Tower of Babel, and then Abraham, who is the father of the Hebrew nation, Isaac, his son, who is the heir, the promised seed, Jacob, and finally Joseph, whose ministry is so paralleled to Christ in the New Testament that he makes a perfect Old Testament symbol. So tonight we're going to talk about creation. Last week in verse 1, I emphasized the existence of God. God is. God always has been, God is, and God always will be. Before anything, God. Before anyone, God. God is pre-existent before any created thing or person. He is eternal, and he is exclusive. Not gods, but God. God seen in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that does not mean that God is plural. It means that God is a singular God seen as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then we talked about God in verse 1 having unlimited power. God created. God did not repair. God created. Out of nothing, God made something, and it was good. God created unlimited power. And we talked about unbreakable promises. We find him to be a covenant God, a God that cannot lie, a God whose very word is the power by which the world was made. So his word is not only authentic and accurate, his word is altogether true. It is pure. It is without fault, compromise, or contradiction. The two things that God wanted us to know about him, first and foremost, is that his power is unlimited and his promises are unbreakable. Why then do you suppose God would want us to know that? Because a self-existing, self-sustaining God wanted a relationship with you and with me. Now that's shouting grounds. God did not have to. He wanted to. He is self-sustaining, self-sufficient. He needs nothing. He needs no one. His glory is exclusive. His power is unlimited. His promises are unbreakable. And yet, deep within who God is, God's heart desired fellowship and relationship. Therefore, he said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image. A God who is ever existent, eternal in nature, and exclusive, the only God. So now, what did this God do? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. Those three words are important. You'll see them often. To its kind on the earth, and it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and the trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the day and the night, the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according to the kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And while we will not talk particularly about the creation of man tonight, let me read verse 26 just to give you the full 6 days of creation. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Father, I pray tonight that we can do diligence to this passage of Scripture. There is such power in knowing that you are Creator God. Help us tonight to understand as much as possible about your awesome power, how you made all that there is, and especially how you made us, and how because of all of that, you deserve honor and glory, power and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think you know that there are two thoughts concerning how this all came to be. The first thought is creation. You read the Word of God, and you believe the Word of God, and you have no trouble saying, if it exists, God made it. That is so very simple, and perhaps why so many very intelligent people reject it, because a first grader can understand it, while a PhD often wrestles with it. But God created the heavens and the earth. I will not take long to tell you this, but evolution is certainly the next thought. And evolution simply says that there was an explosion of the masses over millions of years, and that somehow when the dust settled, there was life when there had been no life. And I will simply say to you tonight, it takes a great deal more faith to believe in evolution than it does to just trust God that what God said, God meant, and that that's accurate. One of the great fears that I have when we send our boys and girls off to college and out of the four walls of this church is that there is an unsaved element in many of the classrooms that would rather deny God even if evolution cannot be explained or understood. I faced a little all those years ago. They face a tremendous amount these days. We had better preach the truth and anchor our young people to the solid rock when we have a chance to do so. Now, many of you said amen and you shook your head, and that's good. But I was not talking about me. I'm talking about you, Daddy. I'm talking about you, Mom. I'm talking about from the first day in your home, talking about Creator God, Sustainer God, Almighty God, Savior God. We might get your children an hour or two a week. You have them 12 hours a day, after day, after day, after day. The church will certainly preach the truth, but you need to teach the truth and practice the truth. For the very foundation of all of our faith is recorded in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. I run into well-meaning people a lot of times that say, well, I don't understand the Old Testament, so I just read the New Testament. You are robbing yourself and of God and the glory that He should get when you study that He's Creator God. And the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis set the doctrinal standard for everything Christ and the apostles taught in the New Testament. So don't miss these next few chapters as we learn more about our Heavenly Father. God's Word answers the mystery of creation. It is not a million, billion year process. Creation, as this simple mind understands it and this heart believes it, was a six-day event with a morning and an evening, and God made it all in 6 days. I will not argue the fact that there might be a time period between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. I don't see it, I don't understand it, but others who I believe were born again and heaven bound have, and therefore I will not argue that fact. But I will declare without any reservation that from the moment God said, "Let there be," until the moment he finalized the creation of man was 6 days, 24 hours, and on the seventh day he rested. If you know more than I do and see more than I do, I suppose that's okay. But I will go to glory believing that God made it all in less than 7 days. Now, having said that, I want to tell you tonight that God's Word and only God's Word will answer the mystery of creation. Not a process, but a person. In the beginning, matter exploded. No, in the beginning, God created. God's Word also answers the method of creation. Now, here's where it really gets good. All the way over to the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then he goes on to say, because we understand that God made something out of nothing, that he made what you can see out of that which was invisible. I believe that to be the truth. As I said earlier, God did not repair the broken. He created something from nothing. And so the power of God was such that he simply spoke into existence all things that are. Are you hearing that? He made a world. He made a heaven. He made an earth. He made the sun and the moon and the multitude of stars. He created the fowl, the fish, and the creatures on this earth. And he simply spoke a word. And that word made something and somebody out of nothing. And science wants to argue and say, well, don't you know that in the lab we have created life? Ah, but you started with DNA. That's something out of something. And tell you the truth, that's something. But that's not everything. Because God didn't start with something and make something. God started with nothing and made everything. And when I understand that, I see myself in the presence of such an awesome God that I have no trouble lifting my hands and praising him. I have no trouble in declaring that he is almighty, and without him, nothing has been made that has been made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I join John, and I just say, in the beginning, God. And there's nothing else, in my opinion, that needs to be said. I will say one other thing before I pass to the next thought. I've always thought this to be slightly amusing. In fact, I think I got in trouble in class one time for saying this, but I'm going to venture it again. One of the reasons that God had to create everything is he was the only one alive when it happened. And the more you think about that, the more you wonder how the evolutionist knows what happened, because they weren't there. I mean, I love the story of the little boy who captured the bumblebee in a bottle on the way to school and put a cork in it, stuck it in his back pocket, went to school and sat down. About halfway through the morning, the cork popped out and the bumblebee got loose in the boy's pants. As he squirmed around, the teacher said, Johnny, what in the world is going on? He said, ma'am, there's some stuff going on back there you don't know anything about. I like to look every Darwin evolutionary person in the eye and say, there's some stuff that went on back there that you don't know anything about. You weren't there. Only God was. And if God says, I did it, and nobody else is there to argue the point, let's just trust in God and believe God. He is Creator God. That's the person of creation. Let me tell you very quickly, time will get away, what the process of creation is. Beginning in verse 2 and reading through the rest of the chapter as I have read it to you, you see the process of creation. Now, remember these two words, and you'll get a really good grasp on God's creative power. Number one, God formed the earth. And number two, God filled the earth. So he made it, and then he filled it. And if you want a real simple illustration, watch the potter as he takes the lump of clay and makes the bowl. He forms it. And then he fills the bowl. So what did God do? God took nothing and made something. He formed it. He fashioned it. And then that which he had formed and fashioned, he filled. Now there are 6 days of creation. So wouldn't it look like an organized God, a God who does all things in order? The first 3 days he spent forming the earth. And the last 3 days of creation, he spent filling up the earth. It'll help you with learning creation. On the first day, he formed, created light. He made the atmosphere. He formed and created the continents and the sea and plant life. And day 1, 2, and 3, morning and evening passed, and the earth was formed. And then on days 4, 5, and 6, God filled the earth. The sun, the moon, the stars, the sea with fish, the sky with fowls, and the earth with animals and creatures. And ultimately and finally, the last thing that he did on day 6 was create mankind in his own image. And so we could read through all of that again, but if you really want to get a good grasp, you just remember 6 days. The first 3, he made it. And the last 3, he filled it. He formed it and he filled it. And let me move quickly to the purpose of creation. And this turns from information every day, and sometimes I fall prey to it, that are discouraged and depressed and nobody cares, and this went wrong and that went wrong. Listen, God made this world for his children to enjoy. Can you say amen to that? God made this world. I mean, I don't care where you go. You can't see anything more beautiful than a sunrise or a sunset. Just stand and look at the vast ocean, the rivers and the lakes, the formation of clouds and a raindrop when it falls and a snowflake that is different from all the other snowflakes that have ever fallen to the earth. Look at all of the animals, the creatures of this earth. Check out your own body, which we'll get to next week, and see how many miles of arteries and veins. See all of the things that you have going for you. Your mind is beyond the computers that could fill this room. God made all of this for the enjoyment of man. Where you get that? 1 Timothy 6:17. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. And many of us don't take much advantage of that. But God made a place and a provision. Now let me just tell you how symmetrical God is, how organized God is, how straightway God is. In the book of Genesis, God made a place and a provision for man to enjoy. Now jump with me all the way over to the New Testament. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. Well, how can we get there? Oh, I've made a provision. I'm the way and the truth and the life. He made the heavens. He made the earth for Adam and for Eve to enjoy and for all of those who came after. And when that didn't work out because of sin and this world was devastated by sin, he said, I'm going to make another place. And I'm going to make another provision. And then, hallelujah, he said, sin will not be able to enter in to this new place. Because by my blood, I'll just wash it away. I'll cleanse it. So he made this earth for us to enjoy. But here's the big part. Not only the enjoyment of man, He made this earth for his own self to be exalted. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, for you have created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God wanted to make a world that you could enjoy so that he could enjoy you enjoying the world that he had made. Did you get what I said? God wanted to make a world that you could enjoy so that he could enjoy you as you enjoy the world that he had made. And if you don't grasp that, you think about Christmas time. And maybe the first Christmas, that little girl of yours or that little boy of yours really understands the giving of gifts and the receiving, and how much joy there is in your heart because you've been able to do something that really made your child happy. And multiply that by the millions and billions and trillions, and you might just get near the heart of God when he must have said to the Son and to the Spirit, how beautiful what we have made, the place, but how much more beautiful the man and woman we have made and the provision we have made for them to enjoy the place. That also lends itself to us understanding the devastation of sin. It not only destroyed mankind, it banished mankind from the place that God had made for them. The earth that God made for man's good and for his own glory. We'll continue with man's creation next week, but let me simply share this with you before we go. This awesome God, more than anything in the world that he had created, more than anything in the heavens that he had created, wanted a relationship with you. He created angels, and angels would follow after him with reverence and respect. But angels do not have a body, soul, and spirit. Only mankind was created in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. And by the way, you're not a body with a soul and spirit. You're a soul and spirit with a body. And when this earthly tabernacle falls away, you will be no less you than you are at this moment. And God wants a relationship with you. And how can that relationship come to pass? By simple faith and belief. He loved you so much that he sent his son to the cross. His son loved you so much that he gave his life on the cross. And his spirit loves you so much that right now he's speaking to your heart about trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. And if you will turn your attention, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and trust that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, and that the Spirit is drawing you, he said he'd move into your heart and he'd live there for eternity. And all that he has made is made for you to enjoy. So let's stand together. Ben is going to lead us in a congregational song, and Mike and I will be here in the altar. Anybody who wants to be saved will be glad to tell you how. Anybody who wants to become a part of our church family as we receive, you can come forward. And certainly anybody with a prayer request, we'd be glad for you to come and pray in the altar.